Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and today we are speaking with Jacqueline Zwirn. And Jacqueline is a social media admin, which is kind of an interesting gig these days in the 21st century. And Jacqueline is involved with a number of social media groups and pages specifically for purebred dog lovers. And I think many of you will be familiar with Dog Show Forum and the Dog Judges Report Card. And so we're going to talk about some of those spaces and the do's and the don'ts and what you can learn and what you can't learn and all kinds of great stuff like that. So welcome, Jacqueline. We're happy to have you.
Well, thank you for having me.
I think that what you do is, mad props, man, because I think what you do is really tough.
It's definitely not easy, and sometimes I wonder, why did I accept the invitation to come help out and be admin of Judges Report Card and Dog Show Forum, which were created by Russ Smith. He's the brainchild of them.
Yes.
But the fundamentals of it was to help give people tools to help figure out perhaps a dog show that they're looking at entering, but if they have a young dog, what the judge might, from others' experience, be looking for, good experience, gentle hands on a brand new puppy, to be used in a positive manner. Because in this day and age, especially for new people, that the mentors aren't as readily accessible as before, 10, 20 years ago. The information. So looking for a way to help give info.
Right. And Jacqueline, you have a pretty good background for doing this. So can you share with people? I mean, you're kind of like the invisible presence behind these sites. So what's the 411 here? You know, what's your background? What makes you a great person to do this?
Well, thank you for that.
It is. You do a great job.
Thank you. I'm third generation dog show exhibitor, second generation breeder, second generation rescue volunteer. I've grown up in the shows. My mother used to put me in X-Pens when she'd be in the ring with her Danes, back when you could have X-Pens ringside. Grew up in the RV
and put
on
children
the road,
in them.
Go motorhome hopping. Yeah. Parents would put me in a Dane crate when they go visiting, you know, their friends, two motorhomes down. Been around the ring, showed in juniors, showed numerous breeds. So I landed with Min Pins, and I've dedicated myself to it, to doing and helping and trying to be neutral and share the awesome aspects of dog shows and owning purebred dogs.
And I think that's amazing. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I really love the goal of the positive. And so let's talk about, you mentioned a little bit about Russ. So let's talk some more about why he created these. What was his impetus? What pushed him to do this sort of thing?
Russ saw that social media is pretty much the information highway now. And everybody, well, society wants everything instantly. And it's easier to just click on something online and go, hey, I want to look at this. So he was hoping to explore and share positive information and to get it out there. People don't pick up the phone calls anymore. Everybody wants everything now. And he figured this would be a good way to share correct information if it's used properly. It's taken some sideways turns because of certain thought processes by people, but it's supposed to, in theory, help and enlighten and answer questions. Dog Show Forum is created for anything, any question related to dog shows. Because sometimes when people do pick up the phone, it's not easy to get a hold of somebody on the phone. So they can pop out a question and you get background replies and hopes from every aspect, from professional handlers, from breeders, from fellow new exhibitors, just a thought, perspective, and opinion to share and help pull pearls from that to give you a better option.
Right. And I think you just hit on something that I think is really important, Jacqueline, and that is that everything that we see on social media, everything that's shared on social media, is an opinion. And I think that it's important that when we hear people's opinions, we understand the background that has created them, and that there might be pearls, as you say, that are particularly valuable in certain people's commentary.
If you can extrapolate the pearls and the basic meat and potatoes of it and not just look at, oh, hey, I'm posting great comments because I won under Susie Snowflake Judge, great judge. That's not giving you information to try and help. Or I don't like Johnny Snowman because he didn't give me the win. He gave Professional Handler the win. Well, you've got to look beyond that. And we really want people to express beyond that. We want facts like Johnny Snowman dog won because it was beautifully presented, not just because of, you know, he's a handler. Handlers, that's their job. You're going to trust a banker who does his job properly versus somebody who doesn't know and said, oh, yeah, I'll finance a loan for you. You want it done right. You want to learn. They take the time. They learn. And it just, people need to look beyond knee-jerk, personal, gut reactions.
Right.
And you got to look and find.
Right. And so I admit to being not a very good follower of some of these things. I try. But I think that the posts that always are of interest to me are posts that are from longtime successful breeders. Maybe not, I won 20,000 best in shows with this dog and I'm really cool and it's the first dog I've ever had. But longtime, consistent people who have had multiple opportunities with multiple dogs or possibly even multiple breeds to show to a specific individual, to experience a particular type of situation, that I find they bring the depth of knowledge to their answers.
I agree with you. And that's what Russ envisioned, was a way for people to help and learn and to share experience, be it positive or negative, but in a constructive, helpful, insightful manner. You know, I've shown to judges, a couple different judges, various types of dogs in my breed. I've learned, okay, a certain judge prefers this over that. So, okay, doesn't mean the judge is not great. Judge is fabulous. You take what you think they'll use as long as it meets breed standard. And a lot of people need to take off rose-colored glasses and really look at what they want, what they have on the end of the lead, and work for it.
Right.
Nothing is easy. Nothing is free.
Nothing gets handed to you on a silver platter.
No, it's really not. It's hard to be an admin because there's times you see some comments and you just go, oh my gosh. You're not even, you state in your post, your dog is very incorrect, and you get upset.
Right. As I said, mad props. I'm not sure that I have the fortitude. I think you do a wonderful job. I really do. Because
Thank
it
you.
Is tough, you know, and I think that one of the things that I see that concerns me, and I know it concerns you because I've seen you respond to it, is when people are perhaps not able to have
articulate,
yes, or maybe even have the overall breadth, maybe, of knowledge to assess why a judge did what a judge did and to say, well, this judge puts up this and I know this because that, and you happen to be there and you're like, nope.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? I mean, that to me is very interesting.
It's definitely not easy, but I try. Other admin tries to point out, well, wait a second. Okay. Looking outside as a spectator, being an exhibitor in the ring and on the dog is totally different than being that judge in the center of the ring. Looking from the center out, it's completely different.
And I would love it if you shared your story that you were talking to me about last night about judging at your national sweepstakes. I think that would be a really wonderful learning opportunity for folks.
I've done a couple matches here and there, but I just did the national sweepstakes and standing in the middle of the ring, and I was able to block out. I can compartmentalize things. It's a double-edged sword gift. But standing in that ring looking out, it's different. One particular situation was a class, and on the down and back, when I had the dog coming back at me and stopping in front of me, I was focused and looking at expression, natural foot placement. I didn't walk around to the side and look at the profile because I could see profile as I walked down the line when dogs were lined up and on the go around. So I was looking for natural foot placement as far as movement true. And I was informed afterwards, you need to watch the video that was taken ringside. So I did that night. And I noticed the top line was not perfect. And I thought about it and I said, wow, I didn't see that because that's not what I'm looking for. And it really drove home what I had always felt, but it really drove it home. We sit outside, we see something different than what the judge is looking at the time in the ring. So certain nuances can be missed. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's totally different. And maybe I would have done the class differently had I caught that. But you can only do with what you see at that specific moment. And it was really interesting.
Okay, so speaking about your judging of the sweepstakes and talking about your observation that what you were looking for is not necessarily what the ringside audience saw, I think it draws a couple points that I would have us address a little bit. Number one, the judge has a specific thing they're looking for that isn't necessarily what the ringside is looking for. The ringside has a longer amount of time to look at each dog because they're not
Absolutely. As
focused on each individual one. And I think, too, that you brought an earlier point that I'd like to go back to just briefly, and that is part of being successful in the show ring is that you have an understanding of what each judge is interested in and are able to present to them the dog that will most closely meet their ideal. Their ideal.
Yeah.
And that is a challenge then if you are an owner handler who only has this one dog. You know, as breeders, we have multiple dogs and we say, okay, this one likes fancy and this one likes utilitarian and this one likes this. And okay, I enter this dog this day and this dog that day. That doesn't work when all you have is one dog.
Agreed. And that is a big reason why Russ created the group, Judges Report Card, to help individuals who only have one dog that they're showing at a time and give them ideas on, okay, I'll enter Saturday but not Sunday, or vice versa. It's important to help learn. It helps you figure out what to do. And also, we feel, Russ and I, that it helps you study your dog more and look at what you have as far as assessing structure.
Applying the breed standard to your own dog is often a challenge. I think that is actually a learned skill.
It is. It's definitely not easy. After having breeding Minkins for 30 plus years, I still go okay and apply the standard to each puppy. And you would think after so long it'd be a piece of cake. But it's not easy, especially as a breeder, if you're bringing in new lines and how they change and what to look at and watch for. It's not easy, and it's constantly evolving. You can't just read the standard and go, oh, my dog looks like that. Perfect. You need to read it over and over
right. And
over.
And I think also translating that word standard into an actual mental picture of what is that ideal dog and how close is your dog to ideal and where is the deviation and how serious is the deviation based on the standard.
Exactly. And it's not easy.
Nope.
It's really not, especially when you get your personal heartstrings involved with it. It's really difficult to look at a dog and, oh, Boo Boo Dog doesn't have this issue, but it's got this glaring issue and it's really hard.
Right, right.
I have one of those Boo Boo Dogs.
Yes.
I look
yes.
and go, ooh, yuck.
Yeah, I try not to keep those.
Yeah, I don't either, but, you know,
yeah,
the heart gets involved.
I hear you. And I think that you make a kind of bring up a good point there, Jacqueline, that we as a society in today's world are very attached to our pets and we have pride in exhibiting them. And so that it can be as we should. Absolutely. And that we just, and maybe you can address this a little more specifically, but I think sometimes people struggle with making that distinction between I love my pet and this judge was mean to my baby, sort of. I mean, I don't mean to be condescending, but that particular distinction is a challenge.
It is a challenge. I actually was myself a little bit put off because somebody didn't like a particular one of my dogs that I was gaga over. And it's hard, but you need to step outside of that. It happened to me many, many years ago. I had a dog. He was the only one I bred by. This was probably 15 years ago. I loved him. I thought he was great. I knew he wasn't perfect. I entered him under Ed Bivin, and I respect the man because he knows what he wants. I will show a dog to him, win or lose or draw. I think he has an eye. Anyway, so I'm the only dog I'm bred by. He does the around, does the table exam. I go halfway down, and he signals me to come back, not even finish my down and back. And he very candidly says, "Your dog is not meeting the standard. I'm giving you second place because he doesn't deserve to beat himself." My initial knee jerk, I was bothered. I was not happy. I said, "Thank you." I walked out of the ring because he gave me a reason. The polite sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
That night I festered. I got over myself. I looked at my dog. I walked up to him, found him in a different ring the next day. When he had a moment, I thanked him for his candor because I took a cold, hard look at this particular dog, and he was right. I neutered him and never showed him again.
Wow.
Because he was right. I took off my glasses, and I said, wow, he's right. The dog doesn't have correct breed movement. He had more than two things that were not great towards standards. So I did, and I thanked him. It was not an easy task because this was a emotional heart litter. And it was a one-time breeding I did. But people have to be able to get over that knee jerk, which I myself had to do.
We all have had to. That's not an unusual thing. I think the difference is the folks that do get over it and the folks that don't. And so I think that there are some great, learning opportunities with these social media sites. And one of the things that I wanted you to talk a little bit about more, and very specifically, as admin on both Dog Show Forum and Judge's Report Card, your job is to insist that people follow rules. So let's talk about some of that and say, what do you do? How do you do it? And what do you definitely not do?
We do not allow bullying. We do not allow unfounded forms of slander, attacks. No pictures are allowed on the forum because we don't want it to come across as a marketing or
advertising.
Judges are members. They watch. They read. Some engage. But we don't want pictures of dogs because too many people might say, oh, well, that judge saw that dog on social media. It influenced his decision. So we try and keep it as neutral as possible. We only want facts. And yes, my experience is a fact of my experience. It's not set in stone. We want people to give descriptions of why they think the judge didn't use their dog or what they felt from watching that breed. Okay, the judge seemed to prefer middle of the size standard dogs because such and such dogs that were used were within this size or weight frame if a breed has a variation for it. The judge seemed to use dogs that were really top of standard. And we want facts. And we're hard fast on them because too many people, they say things off the keyboard that they won't say in person, face-to-face in conversation, which is the downfall of social media use.
Absolutely. And your job then as admin is to hold that up. Right.
Yes. And we will stop it. We will remove the post. Person gets too nasty. We will remove them. We don't want that. Attacking peers and attacking exhibitors or breeders, judges, it's not acceptable. It's not sportsmanlike. This is a competition, but it's not supposed to be aggressive. And attacking a judge is not appropriate. They put time, they put energy, they put money into this. They don't do it because you get rich off of it. You certainly don't. I'm starting my process, and it's not something that you make a living off of. You do it because you love the sport, you love the breed of choice that you're applying for, and you want to help. It's evaluation of breeding stock. And to attack a judge, I don't care, is unacceptable. Russ feels the same way. Judges are not perfect. They're perfectly human. Everybody has an interpretation. Everybody has certain pet peeves and what they accept for standard or they don't accept. And you need to be rational. You need to be calm. You need to think about things. And judges are discouraged to interact on social media because they're scrutinized. Even if somebody says, responds in a complimentary aspect to an exhibitor's post, they're still taken apart and shredded and things are twisted about what they say. So they mostly lurk because they've also, I've had some contact me and say, you know what, I didn't realize that that was the exhibitor's perception of what I'm doing. I need to fine tune things.
Right. So it is a two-way street then in terms of, you know, the judges are able to gather valuable feedback. But I think, like with anything, the five golden rules of life and social media, be nice. Treat people like you want to be treated. It
Absolutely.
Isn't any different.
You don't have to love everybody. You just have to be respectful. There are often times when people have made comments and I've jumped in defending the judges because some of them don't want to post and defend themselves when they're accused of something that is just mind-blowing. So Russ and I will comment from our personal experience with particular judge to counteract it. Or people have, I've created or I've let it be known that people can contact me if they want to share something with anonymity. So they don't have a repercussion because some people get really strong about things. So I have no problem. And it's been quite helpful when judges have contacted me and say, hey, this is what my take in it. This is what I was looking at. This is what actually, from my perspective, happened. And we share that. We don't say, oh, well, I was contacted by so-and-so and this is what they said. But we share their perspective. And we do the same for exhibitors.
Yep. I think that's valuable. I think it's valuable that you guys are the, if you will, voice of reason. So I think that's your goal. So let's offer folks some suggestions and some recommendations, how to use these social media tools, and also what types of information are better acquired in a different venue. Give us some ideas of this is a great tool for this, but for this other thing, you should do X, Y, or Z.
For as far as posting and asking or sharing, we want facts. We want to know the show, the judge, and what your experience was, but candidly and respectfully. You know, my dog backed away from Judge X and Judge X stepped back. Let me reset the dog. Or they didn't do it. Don't attack them. Don't demean them because they're doing a job. They get 2 seconds. And the judges want to do this. They want to give more time. So be prepared and share information that's not knee-jerk. Think about your posts before you post them and look at things and go, okay, well, there's a loud noise. My dog spooked, so he's a little soft in the ring. So the judge kind of backed away or whatnot. Or if my dog's too big, think about these things. If you want your dog evaluated, find a great breeder.
There you go.
Mentor.
Right.
Find a professional handler because they typically know the breed standard for the dog they're showing. Talk to them. Ask them. Polite. Genuinely. Professional handlers are amazing people. Their work is, I wouldn't want to do it 24/7. Well, I respect them. And 99% of them want to help the owner handler. I've asked many questions over the years, many times, and I've been helped. I've been given great, honest answers. They don't have a bias. They're not looking at you, oh, you're my competition. I'm going to tell you this because I don't want you to be in the ring with me. They want you in the ring. They know that the breeders, the exhibitors are pretty much the backbone, at least the pros I've known over my 30 plus years.
Absolutely.
They want to help. But as an exhibitor, you need to be open-minded and take what people explain to you and not take it personally. Take it with an open mind and think about it. Apply it towards a standard. Apply it towards what you want and your expectations and have realistic expectations. Going to shows, sitting ringside, watching the groups to see how dogs are presented.
That's a big one. I think we hear this consistently from folks on the show that the only way you're going to learn is if you sit and watch. And I can't even remember who it was. It might have even been Ed Bivin talking about the drive-through dog show. You know, you drive up, you show your dog, and your car's still running, and you leave.
Yes, it's true. People do it all the time. And I'm guilty of it. But I try and stay. I try and watch other breeds. I try and watch ring procedure and try and soak it up. I've been doing this. I'm 47. I was whelped into this. You never stop learning and keep that open mind. Ask for help and don't be offended. And no two people are going to have the same eye for an animal. And no judge is going to use the same dog every single time you enter it. It does happen periodically, but don't expect it. Walk into the ring with a trained animal, a groomed, well, clean animal that meets breed standard with the confidence that, hey, I love my dog. Whether I win or lose, this is my dog. I'm going home with it. And if I don't win today, tomorrow's another day. There's another chance. I think you should try every judge because you don't know unless you show.
Absolutely.
Get your personal experience. Take what you see online with a grain of thought and make your own opinion. Go and learn.
And I think, too, one of the things, and you and I were talking about it last night, that legitimately, even like you, I've been at this for well over 35 years. And I think that even today, this last weekend, I was quite taken aback by a particular judge that I had previously not had as positive an opinion of, who impressed me with the remarks that they made on a couple different situations. And I thought, okay, wow. Great. So even somebody like us that's been doing it for a long, long time can change their mind for better
Absolutely.
Or for worse.
Absolutely. Judges are human. They're people. They put
yes.
on their shoes the same way we do. I mean, they have the same life issues, concerns, wonderful things that we do.
We all have good days and bad days, man.
Oh, ours. I showed to a judge, oh my goodness, 8 years ago, a little bit gruff with my young bitch on the table. Spooked her. A couple of months later, I had her entered, first major in probably 18 months we had in my breed.
Oh my gosh.
I entered her. We had a judge change, and this particular judge was on the panel, and we were right on. If I pulled her, it would have broke the major, and it was in the middle of a cluster. I talked to my peers. I said, okay, I'll give it a try. Give it a second chance. And as he approached, she racked back, and I said, oh, she was spooked a few months ago. He was backed up and started talking to her in a very calm, totally different approach. Ended up giving her the major. I was blown away. But things change. You've got to try. You've got to be open-minded. I sound like I'm woohoo on bandwagon for judges, but too many people, from my observations and experience with the report card, are so easy to cast stones so quickly over things that really, in my opinion, Russ's opinion, others' opinion, really shouldn't be cast. Judges are not the enemy here. They are our friends. Without judges,
yeah.
We have no sport.
We have no dog show. Once again,
yeah.
I think that you've hit on a topic, and this will be our closing question because we ask this from everybody, but I want to make the emphasis here that not only are judges people too, they're dog people. They love dogs.
Yes.
They didn't do this for any other reason than the love of dogs. And so assuming that, going into the ring with the assumption that the judge wants to be there and that they enjoy dogs, and if they are giving you a different perception, then perhaps they're having a bad day or they don't feel good or what have you, that they are human.
They are human. They are on their feet on
mm-hmm.
concrete, usually
mm-hmm.
for 10 hours a day.
Or it's 100 degrees, or it's pouring rain,
oh.
or what have you.
Yeah, so I'm not saying to give exception to certain things, but take that into consideration. They want to be there. As you said, they love the sport of purebred dogs. And this is their way, at least the ones that I've had in-depth conversations with and I'm friends with. This is part of their way of giving back.
Absolutely. It is exactly what it is. And I think as long as we as exhibitors keep that at the forefront of our mind during our interactions in the ring, it helps give a better perspective, maybe.
It does. It takes 2 seconds to smile. It takes 2 seconds to go in there and just be polite.
Listen
because,
to the judge.
You know, listen. Some are soft-spoken. So keep your ears on. Focus on your task at hand, what you were doing, not lean around outside the ring and talk to a friend ringside while you're in the ring. You're only in there for a couple minutes. Give that respect. Give that focus to what you're doing. Otherwise, what are you in there for if you want to have a chit-chat with your friend standing at the ring entrance? You're in there to show your dog. Show your dog to the best of your ability. And just remember, judges are there because they choose to. It's not a money factor. They love the sport. They love the breed. They want to help give back.
Absolutely. Okay, so our closing question, going forward for the sport, growing the sport, continuing the sport, getting new people in the sport or keeping the people we have, ideas, suggestions, thoughts, go.
Oh boy, mentor somebody. Encourage people to come check it out. Be willing to lend a hand. If it takes 20 minutes out of your schedule at a show, if you want to get in that car and leave, you see somebody like a question or concern, be friendly. Say, hey, it looks like you have a question. Say hi to people. People have questions. I try and practice what I preach, and I'll be supportive of people ringside if they have a question. You know, don't hesitate. Just be the greeter. Encourage it. Be willing to spend time, and it not a lot of time. Just, I mean, like I said, even 20 minutes, it helps. You won't know the impact you've made until after it's done, and that person will remember you if you've helped them. Just with a simple, you see somebody walking around. I did it just a couple weeks ago. Somebody walked out of the ring. Their dog was excused for trying to nip at the judge because they didn't have a proper mentor. Different breed. I walked up to him, gave him a hug and said, you know what? It's okay. You can get beyond this. We can work through it. Didn't know the person, but just that 5 second, that gives them the courage to keep going. They were ready to be done with it. So encourage and support your peers.
Absolutely. I love that. Thanks a lot, Jacqueline. I really appreciate your time. And
give back.
Absolutely.
Work a club.
Yeah.
Join a club. Work
join
a show.
Join a club. Yes. Please join a club.
Please. Clubs are breaking down. And
literally dying.
Not happening anymore. Without host clubs, we're not going to have shows. You know, it's usually a core 7 to 10 people that put on a show. Work a club. Help. Even if it's once a year, take that one day, one weekend, and help your sport and give back.
I absolutely think you nailed it. So thank you very much for what you give back to the sport, Jacqueline. And to Russ, thank you for thinking of creating these sorts of things. And to the users and members of these social media sites, remember, be nice. It's the golden rule. Do unto others and all that.
Exactly. Be nice. It gets you very far.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. You have a great day.
Thank you for having me. You too.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.